We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, a lot of people who are idealistic say, oh, I wish we could go back to the first century church. Man, it was pure. It didn't have any problems. Well, if that's your mindset, you probably haven't read this book that we're reading. Seems like every other paragraph, Paul is trying to correct a new problem. And he's doing that here. But one of the great problems that we all have, whatever age we live in as Christians, is we swim in this culture called the world. And so the promises of God and eternal life in heaven just seem to be kind of fuzzy and not very clear. And sometimes the future doesn't impact our todays like God intends. And so let's track and listen to what God would speak to us today. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly or fleshly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it, what? Grow. So neither he nor plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, precious things, or stone, wood, hay, straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his what? Reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be what? Saved. Keep reading. But only as one escaping through the flame. We are searching for the place to make an investment by which we can get the greatest return. And one of the questions that we always ask before we're ready to invest, I don't care what it is that we're talking about, is it going to be worth my effort? Is it going to be worth my time? Is it going to be worth your while, this investment? Will it be worth your time and trouble that you give in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Will it? Will the benefits to you outweigh the time and the effort and the resources that it requires? God invests in us. It's his air we're sucking on right now, by the way. And he calls us to invest in others. And when we agree to invest our life, we not only please God, but I'll tell you what, we experience spiritual abundance and joy in this life. But it doesn't end there. We're going to experience that in the life to come forever and ever. But if we decide to hide what God has given, or just spend it selfishly and foolishly, we're going to find ourselves feeling empty, even though we're Christians, and we're soon going to realize that we wasted precious opportunity. My friend, Jesus not only wants to give you eternal life, he wants you to have an abundant life that goes on. Well, how does this all end? Sometimes it's good to read the last chapter first, especially when you're dealing with the future in our lives today. Here's what the Bible says. John is saying this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. He says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write. Okay, what do I write? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I just had a dear friend pass just the other morning. The Bible says he's blessed. Don't you weep for him. He died in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Really? Yeah. You mean there's something you can take with you? Oh man. Listen, well, I've always been told there's no U-Haul following a hearse. Well, just hang on a moment. See if you don't agree with what we're going to find in God's Word. There are several questions when it comes to investing and searching for a return. There are certain things that we need to understand. Here's a basic thing that a lot of Christians are confused about. How the riches of God's grace and salvation, on the one hand, how they compare with our works and rewards, on the other hand. How do we compare salvation by grace and rewards that comes, according to the Bible, from works? You see, when it comes to good works, have we as Christians, have you thrown out the baby with the bathwater? Works is not a dirty word. On the one hand, God condemns works that are done to try and earn salvation. He condemns works that are done to impress others. Hey, look how great I am. But God commends works that are done for the right reasons. And the Bible tells us, in fact, that there's a judgment of believers that is coming that will determine for all eternity our positions in His kingdom. Perhaps there are two questions that help us understand the comparison of these issues. One is the work of Christ for our sins fully sufficient? That's a critical question. Because some think that we have to add something to what Jesus started, that he did good on the cross, but then it depends on how I live. Do my works in some way complete what Jesus started? Oh, no. You see, if Christ has fully paid the price of our sin, and if we've confessed our sin, then we've been forgiven. That's one issue. The other issue is, why then will we be accountable for what we do? And I want you to look with me at the future, at heaven, through the double lens of the lens of salvation, but also the lens of judgment for rewards. And we need to be clear. Salvation and rewards are different. In fact, I've given you a chart in your notes, and I encourage you to take a look at that chart. Because on the one hand, when it comes to salvation, that deals with God's work for us. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace, unmerited favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is God's work for us, a free gift to which we can add nothing. However, don't stop there. Ephesians 2:10 says that if you're a Christian, you are a special work of art. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do certain good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Really? We're saved not by any works at all, right? But we're saved in order to do good works, yes. You see, salvation is God's work for us, but rewards, then, they come from our work for God. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul is dealing with relationships here. He deals with children and parents, and then he deals with slaves and masters. By application today, we would say employees and employers. But if it applies to slaves, my friend, then it applies to us. What is that? Well, look at what he says in verse 7 of chapter 6. He exhorts those who are slaves, those who are accountable to anybody, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Why? Verse 8, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Now, I don't know if you know that. The people to whom Paul was writing, he wanted to underscore verse 8, for you know, what do I know? That the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Doesn't matter whether you're a slave, whether you're free, whether you're rich, poor. That's just the way God works. In fact, he's keeping track, and he will reward accordingly. Come back to salvation for a moment. Salvation deals, on the one hand, with judgment for our sins. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sins being sent away, forgiven, and when we come to Christ, they are totally sent away, and then he declares us justified, righteous because of Christ. But on the other hand, rewards. That deals with a judgment of our deeds, our works. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus says, I will repay each of you according to your deeds. You see, we need to understand that there's a judgment of believers coming. It's not about our sins. Our sins were judged at the cross, but it's about our works. On the one hand, salvation deals with a judgment of our sins, rewards a judgment of our deeds. On the other hand, salvation is based on God's faithfulness. And aren't we glad? Paul said to Timothy, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. That's who God is. I wish we could say that about ourselves all the time, right? But God is faithful, and our salvation depends on his faithfulness. That means our salvation is unconditional. On the other hand, our rewards are based on our faithfulness. Our rewards are conditional. The Bible says right here in verse 15, if we are not faithful, we will suffer loss. Now, it's not this fire that's going to test us is not about, by the way, large denomination teaches that this is the key verse, verse 15, verse 14, on purgatory. And that purgatory is kind of a place in between earth and heaven where you go to get fitted for heaven, where you meet the fire and it will test you until you get good enough to go into heaven. Friend, we're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. But Jesus, if you receive him, you're born into his family. He gets to go to heaven. Guess you get to tag along with him. My friend, this isn't about purgatory. Just read verse 14. Read verse 15. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Nothing in between. No. But our rewards are based on our faithfulness, and they are conditional. It doesn't talk about losing salvation here. It talks about losing rewards that we should have done. Back to our chart. Salvation, on the one hand, is determined by belief. You see, whether you believe in Christ enough to receive him, that determines your eternal destination. There's eternal consequences to what we believe. Works do not affect our redemption. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Belief determines salvation. But on rewards, on the other hand, that's determined by behavior. Behavior determines our eternal rewards and what we'll have in the future. Eternal consequences comes because of our works. Works do affect our rewards. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10, and I've printed it out there for you. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is only for born-again believers, those who already have salvation. You know, if only we could realize how much this life matters. If only we could realize, get it through our thick skulls, the tremendous return on investment that God gives to each believer who will invest their lives. God tells us in advance about this judgment seat that is coming, this final report day. And he doesn't do that because he doesn't like us. He does it because he loves us and he wants us to believe him and he wants to give us the best. He wants us to do well there. It's going to be a huge event. It's not some meaningless formality before we get on with the party in heaven. No, our character and our works are going to be revealed as they are, and suitable rewards will be given. You know, sadly, much of Christianity has been lacking the motivation that God intended us, the passion that we ought to have. You know why? Because we've neglected this truth about judgment and rewards that is all the way through God's Word. I like what Martin Luther said. He understood this. And he said, there are only 2 days on my calendar. Today and that day. That wouldn't be a bad thing for you to write down. There are only 2 days on my calendar. Today and that day. Now think about it. Why would he say that? Because that day is certain. And today is the only opportunity I have, a bag of seed and a brand new day. I can't do anything about last year's harvest, but I can do something about this year's. Today and that day. God sent his Son to make your salvation and your fruitfulness possible. You see, salvation gets us to heaven, gets us into the family of God, but it's our fruitfulness that will be evaluated once we get there. In fact, the Bible teaches that how we serve God in the future, in his kingdom, in heaven, is being determined by how we live our lives today. And the importance of this cannot be overstated. Some conclude, because they get this mixed up, that heaven is our reward for living a good life. No. Listen to what the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is entirely the gift of God. He paid for it. Our work for God is no substitute for God's work in us. And any work that we do, any work that earns rewards, you know what? It has to be powered by the Spirit of the Holy One inside of us anyway. Paul said he was giving it his all, Colossians 1:29, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I like that. Christ empowers our lives, and he enables us to do good works. And then he rewards us for the works that he himself empowers in the first place. What a wonderful God we serve. Beloved, on that day, let me tell you what's going to happen. Some Christians, Jude 24 says, are going to have great joy. While others, 1 John 2:28 says, are going to shrink back from him in shame. All who put their faith in Christ will be in heaven. Some will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want you to notice, Jesus didn't say, "Well said, preacher." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "Well believed." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "Well felt." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Well done." You know, some are going to wear crowns reflecting the Father's pleasure, and some won't. In a way, we can't lose if we're Christians because we're there. Yes, I understand that. But as a disciple of Jesus, we're going to stand before our Master, and he's going to evaluate our lives and our works. And the Bible says that he will judge and reward everyone according to the full knowledge of God. He'll know everything about our motivation, why we did what we did. In fact, the Bible says everything will be uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And so we began by comparing salvation by grace with the rewards that come as a result of our deeds and works done for Jesus. Now, secondly, let's ask and answer another question. Why God rewards for what we do today? Why does he do that? And take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I think you're going to appreciate this about our God. Why would he do this? Why would God want to give rewards for how we live or what we do today? I'll tell you why. This is vintage God. This is who he is. This is his nature. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:10 that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Look at that. I love this. God's not going to forget what you do. You'll forget. God won't. Not your labor, not your work, not your love that you have shown him by serving others. God would be unjust, he says, to forget. Now, hold your finger there and turn over to Hebrews 10:17. 10:17, God uses a similar word. This verse from Jeremiah 31 is quoted several times in the New Testament. Here the author of Hebrews includes it, and it says this, God is speaking, their sins and lawless acts, I will, what's the next word? Remember, keep going, no more. Look at it again. Their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. Wait a minute. In Hebrews 6:10, it says God will remember. In Hebrews 10:17, it says God won't remember. Now, which is it? Well, it's a word that means to recall information from memory, but without necessarily the implication that God has actually forgotten. It means he's going to think about it again. Well, what is it that God's going to recall? What is it that God's going to think about again? What you've done for Jesus. What is it that he's not going to recall? What is it that he's not going to think about again? Our sins that have been washed away by the blood of Christ. Hey, that's worth a hallelujah, isn't it? Hallelujah. Man, that's exciting.